case, which is Chicago versus FEMA. Mr. Isaacson?
May it please the court, my name is Samuel Isaacson, and I represent the intervening appellants in this case. This is an appeal from an order of the district court denying intervention to the six airlines who operate at O'Hare and Midway airports. In the main action, the city appeals FEMA's denial or deobligation of federal funds used to assist the two airport facilities in snow blizzards in 1999 and 2000. The airlines, as interveners in this case, like the city, would like to challenge FEMA's deobligation of federal funds that was of direct and immediate assistance to the airline's property and use rights in the airports. The district court addressed only one of the four elements for intervention of right under Rule 20.
I think it would make a lot of sense to have one case rather than two cases. But I think you really have a much stronger argument for permissive than for a mandatory intervention, because the only harm you can suffer from this litigation is the stare decisis effect, right?
I disagree with that, Judge Posner.
Because there's nothing that this challenge to FEMA's ruling. That cannot actually affect a right of yours. All it can do is produce a decision that you don't like, which the next court might say, yeah, it's a good decision and precedent, something, if we reaffirmed it or something. So, but there's no right of yours that's actually taken away, no money taken away or anything. You still get to litigate over, whether you get reimbursed.
Your Honor,
you have to reimburse.
The airlines do believe that they have an invasion of legally cognizable interest by virtue of FEMA's deobligation of federal funds.
Legally cognizable interest. The point is, nothing is taken away from you, which is the usual.
The right to
for intervention is some right is taken away, your money is taken away. This is just, a decision that would maybe hurt you in the sense of being an adverse precedent, but just to press, there's no preclusion because you're not a party to the FEMA challenge.
Well, the interests here are not only in the federal benefits that are of direct assistance to the airlines in connection with their use and operations of O'Hare, but also in connection with their contractual interests with.
But I don't understand that. You have a contract with Chicago, and you litigate the contract and what it provides and so on. FEMA's ruling can affect your contract rights, except the court may say something which hurts you. But that's always a risk, that you have a case in which someone says something about a non-party to the case, and then it's picked up and it hurts him in his litigation.
But here, Your Honor, if the only interest that we would have is in our contractual rights, and we maintain we have an interest in the federal benefits themselves because we fall within the zone of interest and the protections of the federal statute, there will be no opportunity for the airlines to litigate anew whether the denial of federal assistance for these airports was proper. We have a right under the Administrative Procedures Act to seek judicial review.
So in other words, you lose this case, you just give up, right? You're telling us that this case is actually going to determine your rights. You're going to lose. You're not going to get I'm going to pay the money. That's a dangerous argument to be making, right? You're making admissions about the consequences of this litigation that could bind you in the future.
I'm not making any admissions.
Yes, you are. You're saying you're going to get hurt by this litigation by more than just the precedential effect, aren't you?
Yes, it's both potentially economic injury, and I'm not admitting
it under
contract.
Well, a potential economic injury is not going to support an intervention of right.
The immediate harm is the loss of federal benefits for the operations, our operations at O'Hare and Midway airports. That loss of benefits is an immediate and direct harm.
I understand. If you're not a party, how can FEMA take anything away from you?
The issue is whether our interest in the case bears an unmistakable link to the purposes of the statute.
That's too vague. You tell me, how can FEMA take benefits away from you when you're not a party to their quarrel with Chicago?
Because the loss of federal benefits
You say you're a beneficiary. You're entitled to those benefits. Well, you can litigate that with FEMA, right?
Yes.
So why are you bothering us with intervention?
Because we believe it makes eminently good sense as a matter of judicial efficiency.
That's permissive. Yes, it makes good sense to have all these quarreling parties in one lawsuit. That's why permissive intervention, I think, would be very sensible here. I just don't see intervention of right.
We saw permissive intervention as well, Judge Posner, as you're aware.
Fine. I'm just saying I don't think your intervention of right is going to go anywhere. I don't know why the judge, and also I don't understand, why is this case dragging like this? Nothing's happening in the case. What's that about? Judge Norgel just doesn't want to bother with this? It's too murky, all this regulatory stuff?
I think the...
That seems to me the real argument for permissive intervention. Get all the parties in one suit and decide the suit.
Well,
you said, didn't you? There's no schedule for the litigation?
There's no current schedule.
It sits around?
There's no current schedule in this case.
It was filed 3 years ago and just sits there? Even though it's just, it's not going to be a trial, right? It's all...
And we would agree...
Administrative record.
We would agree that intervention permissively makes much more sense than mm-hmm. the airlines filing a separate, mm-hmm. standalone judicial mm-hmm. challenge under the
APA. Because one of the questions I had, too, was, will you need additional discovery?
Assuming
you are allowed to intervene and we reverse Norgel on the permissive intervention.
There is the possibility that we would want additional discovery. Your Honors will note that there is a dispute in the record about whether or not the city received duplicate reimbursement for mm-hmm. the same expense.
Yeah.
Reimbursement from the airlines plus mm-hmm. a double payment from FEMA. Obviously, we're in the middle of that dispute. I've read the record as the court has. That issue has not been conclusively determined in our judgment and cannot be determined on the record submitted in the administrative proceedings.
But would that be the only area you would focus on in terms of additional discovery?
Yes, because FEMA is taking the position that the supposed duplicative payment was a matter of contractual obligation. The city denies the duplicative payment,
mm-hmm.
but we could certainly envision the potential for additional discovery on that limited issue.
And so you and the city are not aligned on every single issue, which is another problem with you only being given amicus status.
Correct. We are clearly not aligned. The city has been very clear in all of its submissions that, in its view, the airlines are liable for the FEMA share of federal emergency assistance. The airlines very much deny and will always deny that they have liability for disaster relief assistance when the federal government is available to support airport operations. And the city, for obvious reasons, wants to have two pots to pursue, the airlines and FEMA. It's a simple commercial motivation for the city of Chicago, but that commercial motivation obviously presents the city of Chicago with a conflict of interest in advancing a defense that would prove dispositive of FEMA's claim. And that defense is, of course, that the airlines never had liability for the expenses advanced and paid for with FEMA dollars.
Well, I think the city would much rather FEMA pay than the airlines.
I can't comment on that,
well,
Judge.
Well, because, Posner, you know, the airlines are very, very important to Chicago, and, you know, wants to have good relations with them, and United is headquartered here. American used to be, and it moved away. So I don't. That's why I think the city's position is awkward. It has to reserve its contractual rights. On the other hand, I would not like that, have a fight with the airlines. My guess is.
I believe another point that I'd call the court's attention to is that under Section 501B, the airlines bargained for the city to pursue alternative sources of revenue for the airport. That provision was overlooked by OIG, and it's been overlooked by FEMA. Under Section 501B, the city of Chicago stated that in order to minimize the expenses of the airlines at the airport, the city would pursue non-use agreement revenues. And we believe the city is obligated to pursue FEMA dollars for itself and on behalf of the airlines who directly benefit from that assistance.
Well, it is doing that.
It is doing that, but it has a conflict of interest in making a dispositive argument in the case. I will reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Isaacson. Ms. Kersvang?
May it please the Court, I'm Dana Kersvang for the United States. The contract issue...
Why do you oppose intervention? I don't understand that. What, you want to have two lawsuits?
Well, we wouldn't be party to the second lawsuit. There
Why
are
not? Mr. Isaacson argues that he believes the airlines are beneficiaries of these federal... that is entitled to these federal payment for this snow cleanup?
Well, there would be a number of problems with an APA suit brought by the airlines. First, we have Article 3 standing problems.
Oh, fine. Yeah, but what do you want to have the two suits? Why don't you just let them intervene and have the whole and move the thing along? I don't, this dragging out 3 years, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, FEMA has a lot of these
doesn't like this case, right? He wants it to go away.
FEMA has a lot of these deobligation cases with other sources of funding.
Why don't you want to have, instead of two lawsuits, why not have one lawsuit? That'll save the government some money.
We have an interest in all of these deobligation cases.
Why do you have an interest in having two trials rather than one trial? What's that interest?
Okay, it could be much more efficient to have one trial, right? Because if Chicago wins here, it's over, right? We don't need a second.
Have one trial.
Two trials, separate.
It's over.
So not. I apologize, Your Honor. I meant to not allow intervention. So if Chicago wins,
the problem is the same arguments that you would make against the airlines are arguments you could make in one lawsuit. You know that's the point from a practical standpoint. Knowing what their argument is, and I understand you're going to fight the arguments the airlines are making and say, no, you know, we didn't have any agreement with you, and so you're out, and this benefits argument you're making is, you know, it doesn't cut it, you know, contractually under any theory. I understand that. But that's a whole second lawsuit. The point is the parties are all here. They're in as amicus. They're making the same arguments. The city is saying, look, it's a conflict here because the city has got something going on with them in terms of this use agreement, and ultimately they're saying they're beneficiaries. Just from a practical standpoint, what you're saying is it's better for the government every time there's this kind of situation to have two lawsuits instead of one.
it's better for the government to be able to resolve the issues that involve the government, that are in the APA dispute, in the suit with the government. The APA dispute isn't...
I understand. You can't avoid the second suit because they're arguing, rightly or wrongly, that they're direct beneficiaries, you know, of these FEMA benefits.
Well, of course, as a practical matter, if Chicago prevails in the suit, there wouldn't be a second suit. If there is a second suit...
If Chicago wins. Yeah, well, we don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
Do you think the city of Chicago can adequately represent the airlines?
I think the city of Chicago, as this report found, can adequately...
Isn't there an obvious conflict of interest here?
Not as to the issue that is actually before the district court, which is the question of whether the agency is properly interpreting the duplication of benefits provision under the Stafford Act. There's agreement as to that. As this court said in Shea versus Angelo, if the issue that is actually before the district court the parties align on, it doesn't matter if there are other disputes between the parties.
It's kind of a joke to think of the city of Chicago as representing the interests of the airlines.
Well, it's representing their interests as to this interpretation of the Stafford Act question, right? It is saying...
But you still haven't explained why the government thinks it's in its interests to have the two lawsuits rather than one.
So the FEMA statutory scheme is about getting money out quickly. And what that requires is we get the money out quickly, and then later we can go back and do this OIG process and make sure that the money was spent properly, right? Chicago knows that's the process. Everybody who gets this kind of funding goes through training on this issue. They all know how it works. They know that the government can come back and ask for the money later. We need those suits to be efficient. We need not to be litigating people's reinsurance issues or people's contractual claims, having discovery on issues that are not about the APA claim. We need that not to happen in those APA cases.
But this question of whether the general use agreements mean the airlines have to pay for relief in disasters that FEMA has traditionally covered, which is essentially, I think, what they want that question resolved. I mean, that's a question that it makes sense to resolve it in the one case, doesn't it?
Well, no, Your Honor. That argument was not made to the agency in the administrative proceeding. It is very strange to raise that argument for the first time in an APA case. You couldn't say that the agency abused its discretion in interpreting the contracts in a way that Chicago said the contract should be interpreted, especially when Chicago, after the snowstorm, went ahead and first charged the airlines, and only after it got the money from FEMA went and reversed those charges.
Isn't
that's a perfect
obligation. Wasn't the obligation of the airlines to reimburse the city? Isn't that the best reason for FEMA to get its money back?
Well, that is, of course, that is
that's,
a part
that's
of why
to
FEMA.
The case, isn't it?
Sure, but it's not the issue in the APA case, right? It wasn't argued in the administrative proceeding that FEMA got that contract wrong, and Chicago isn't arguing it in district court. Now, this contract dispute between Chicago...
I thought it was a condition of getting the money back.
But it is not a dispute in the APA case, and it wasn't disputed by Chicago. Remember, Chicago first charged the airlines for this work. Now, if we...
I don't think your position is very practical. You know, practical interference counts for intervention, and I don't understand. You're saying, well, this wasn't raised at this time, or of course it might maybe raised numerous times tomorrow. Probably will be. Unless the airlines don't want to fight back.
But in an APA case, we're looking at abuse of discretion. Also, these efficiency points that the court is raising are really Rule 24B questions, right? Intervention, permissive intervention, as you said. And that is firmly in the district court's discretion, right? The district court had these parties before it.
The district court is in the statute, isn't it?
One of the things the statute requires the court to look at is the effect on the parties in the case.
The district judge did not. His disposition of the permissive intervention issue and his whole handling of the case does not It's not reassuring, right?
Well, the district court
doesn't like this case. He won't move it along. He won't set a schedule for it.
He didn't set it.
What's the sense of that?
The airlines asked him to not set a schedule until this appeal was resolved. He had the summary judgment motions before him when he made this decision, and he knew that the issue before the court was the interpretation of this duplication of benefits provision. He thought that it would make it unwieldy to have parties come in with a different issue that doesn't involve the agency, that is they're going to ask for discovery perhaps, drag things out further. Let's just resolve the case that is actually before the district court. As Your Honor said, the airlines are not going to have anything taken away from them at the resolution of this case, right? They can have a separate case to resolve the issues that actually involve them. And you don't get you don't get an intervention as of right because you want to resolve something in litigation.
I think that's clear. I think we're talking about permissive intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So
and whether it was an abuse of discretion for him to allow permissive intervention. I mean, that's really, to me, the big issue to not allow.
Right, and as this court said in Reed versus Illinois State Board of Education, it is a very rare bird for this court to reverse on that kind of discretionary determination under Rule 24B. Here, the district court had the summary judgment motions in front of it. It considered the issues that were actually before it. It made a determination that it was not.
What did the judge say concretely about permissive intervention?
District court said that allowing six separate corporations to intervene will make the city's action more unwieldy. It will delay the adjudication of the rights of the original parties. And it points out that already a decade has passed.
But, of course, he's allowing them to file these amicus curiae briefs.
Well, of course, as Your Honor pointed out.
The only difference between that and the intervention, apart from the apparently very limited discovery that they seek with regard to this issue of duplication. The only difference is that the decision wouldn't bind the airlines. Right? Whereas if they're allowed to intervene, then the final judgment is going to bind them, so you don't get the two lawsuits.
Well, as Your Honor pointed out, the only interest here would be a stare decisis interest, and the airlines
That's why it isn't a good case for intervention as a matter of right. But if the airlines become parties, they're bound by the judgment because they're parties. And that means no second lawsuit.
That's true, but they're also going to take this lawsuit. They're going to have maybe some discovery. Things going to
Look,
take longer.
Look, the discovery, if it's just limited to that question whether there's some mm-hmm. duplication. It's not a big deal.
Summary judgment motions have already been filed. This case could be resolved very quickly.
It's not going to be resolved very quickly. Why is it 3 years old?
It has been moving slowly. Chicago.
Why has it been moving slowly? Because the judge hasn't been pushing it along.
Chicago moved for discovery originally. The court said, we don't need discovery in this case. This is an APA case.
You don't need discovery. Why does it take 3 years to decide?
So let me ask you this. They say they just need very limited discovery on these agreements, this use agreement. So do you envision any additional discovery besides that?
Well,
just focused on that narrow question.
Right. I don't know what is going to happen in their contract.
Now, let's assume they want that discovery. I'm asking you, what additional discovery do you think will be needed? Obviously, discovery around that issue, but you don't envision any other discovery because that's the only issue in dispute. I mean, that is their main concern, although they've made their arguments in their amicus briefs with respect to their benefit theory. So there's no other discovery you can envision, is there? I'm just trying to flesh out, is there more that you think, because you think it's going to be so costly and take so much time, and it's just one element that they want discovery on.
Well, if they're litigating the contract issue, they might want to go back and look at how these snowstorms have been billed in the past, who has paid for them. But
look, Mr. Isaacson has made a representation to us about the very limited nature of the discovery that he might seek. If he goes to the district court and says, yeah, we told the Court of Appeals that we just want a little bit of discovery. But now that we've been permitted to intervene, we've decided we want loads of discovery. But what's the judge going to do with that, right? He's going to say, look, you told the Court of Appeals what you wanted. That's what you get. You don't get any more.
Of course, none of this discovery, bringing it back to my key point, is about the agency and what the agency did. And this really is not...
That's true, but the fact that you have a very limited interest is not a great reason for excluding a party, because FEMA's interest is not the only consideration that, apart from the airline's consideration, there's the judicial interest in having litigation resolved in an efficient way. And it's better to have one lawsuit than two lawsuits.
Well, again...
You say FEMA doesn't like that. FEMA doesn't like... I don't understand it, because I don't know why FEMA prefers two lawsuits to one.
In terms of efficiency, of course, if Chicago wins this case, it's over. And if Chicago loses, these are totally separate issues that are not involved in this case that could be decided then.
They don't consider them totally issues. Look, why did the judge allow them to allow the amicus curiae briefs if the issues are totally separate?
I think
well, that's not a response. Why did the judge permit? Did you oppose that? You say, no, it's totally separate. Keep them out.
We did oppose that, Your Honor.
Lost, yeah.
And the judge said, well, we are generous in allowing amicus participation. They do have a different viewpoint. We'll let them in. But the person, the entity here that you would think would really have an interest in deciding all of these in the same proceeding would be Chicago. And they haven't structured their suit that way, right? They could have done that from the beginning, but they didn't, and they aren't participating
here. There's
an
independent judicial interest in the efficient dispatch of litigation. You don't seem to understand it. You think the only interests bearing on this case are FEMA and Chicago, right? It's a judicial interest, not having multiple suits.
No, Your Honor, the most efficient way to resolve this case is without the airlines, because one option is Chicago wins and it's over.
I understand, and there's going to be another case, another suit. Why is that efficient to have two lawsuits?
It isn't inefficient because the lawsuits will be about separate issues, and the second one will only happen.
10 lawsuits about 10 separate issues that are closely related is likely to be a less efficient way of resolving the issues than one lawsuit with all the parties present. I mean, obviously there are limits to that. You might have to break them. That's a class action type of concern.
You know, and I understand part of your perspective is, look, we have these lawsuits all over the country. There are all these different people that will say they want to jump on the bandwagon. But, and clearly the district judge has to make a call. So, you know, if we allowed permissive intervention in this case, this to me is a fairly unique situation. I mean, you may say, well, you know, this happens all the time, and this is, we're always dealing with the airlines, and so maybe that's what your perspective is. But I don't understand why the government would be burdened by this, you know, if we allowed this permissive intervention. You know, I know that's the argument you made, but, you know, you have to give me more than that, just generally speaking, that we have this issue and, you know, we have to deal with this all the time. I mean, I assume there are a lot of situations where it is very clearly true that you can't make any connection between the FEMA litigation and those that want to intervene. But, I mean, I just think the issues, the reasons here are more compelling.
Well, of course, summary judgment motions here have already been filed. So we do think that it's late in the game. And, again, I refer you to the district court's discretion to manage his docket and to decide these efficiency interests.
Yeah, but all you need is just a limited discovery and then additional briefing. That's all. The original briefs stand. You do the additional discovery. You get these additional briefs. You set a tight schedule. Move forward.
We don't know exactly what the parties will raise or what it will...
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. They've told us. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Fang. And Mr. Isaacson, do you have anything further?
I just want to make a few remarks about the practicality of intervention in this case. The airlines maintain that we have standing to pursue a separate APA claim to challenge FEMA's decision in this case. If we are denied intervention in this case, we would then pursue our right under the APA to obtain the judicial review to which we're entitled as beneficiaries under the Stafford Act. That FEMA continues to resist intervention only to buy a second lawsuit and a second review is not only impractical, but also impairs the airline's interest in not being precluded by a first decision in this case. There's another aspect of practicality, and I want to be very clear about this. We're not a distant third party coming into court with concern that funds may be deobligated and the city may ultimately sue the airlines. Of course, that's a concern. But we have more. We're direct beneficiaries under the statute. We have enormous leasehold interests in O'Hare, property rights under 35-year agreements, and in addition, we have use rights in O'Hare. And the denial of federal emergency assistance to respond to disasters at O'Hare directly impairs our contractual property interests and use rights in the airport. That's what FEMA does not want to hear. They do not want to have a contested issue about whether FEMA counts first and ought to come ahead of the airlines to protect the airlines' property interests, which are vital to the operations of these two airports and other airports around the United States.
This isn't the last slow storm they're going to have at O'Hare either.
Pardon?
I say this is not the last snowstorm.
Also a concern of the airlines, Your Honor, as we know from last winter, blizzards are not uncommon. In connection with the schedule and what the airlines have represented to this court, this is a case that could be resolved and should be resolved expeditiously. There are issues presented under the Stafford Act, the contract, and some potential factual disputes that bear on those issues, which I've outlined to the court. In seeking intervention in the district court, the airlines were very clear with the district court that we were not going to seek to protract this litigation. It simply isn't required. It's a review of an administrative record with the potential for limited discovery on what I observe to be an inconclusive issue of potential fact. That's in the short appendix, which the court can see for itself, hasn't been resolved. I don't believe that this is a mountain of discovery by any instance, and I would represent to the court that it won't be. It may be limited fact discovery, some interrogatories and document requests, perhaps a deposition, but nothing so extraordinary that it would make the case unwieldy. There is nothing in the record that was presented to the district court to suggest that the intervention of the airlines under the facts of this case would make the case unwieldy or result in protracted delay. This case has dragged on without the airlines being a party to the case. We were not parties, and it took several years for the case to get even to have a resolution to this point where we're now before Your Honors. But I represent to the court that the airlines would move very, very expeditiously in obtaining a resolution on the merits. The final point I would make, of course, is, and it's the point that I begin with and end with, the airlines' rights, contractual rights, are the linchpin of FEMA's deobligation decision in this case. Mm-hmm. FEMA agrees in its appellee brief that it cannot deobligate these funds unless the airlines are liable under contract. It agrees in its brief that if the city advances this argument and prevails in the district court, it is dispositive of FEMA's claim for deobligation of funds. That, in and of itself, provides the airlines with a sufficient interest, impairment, and impairment to intervene as of right and permissively, and it also demonstrates the inadequacy of the city's representation. The airlines in this case, their motion was timely for intervention. They moved very quickly once they became aware of this lawsuit. It took them 60 to 90 days to all get together, quickly review the administrative record, evaluate whether it was a case that they wanted to intervene in, and come before the court with a single motion and supporting brief for intervention. Thank you, Judge.
And that is how you would proceed if you were allowed to intervene.
It is, right. Judge Williams.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Isaacson and Ms. Kersfang.